So I'm in, I'm not going to say a pokey little office, I'm going to say an intimate space high up in the Theatre Royal. And John Baldock, who is the general manager here at the Theatre Royal, John, you once described this place as, you know, the oldest and most beautiful theatre, or one of them. And I guess they're two virtues, but old could also not be a virtue, and here we are. What are your challenges in kind of bringing theatre into a space that's got, you know, probably good, the good and bad of being old?
I think one of the biggest challenges for us is on the technical side of it, basically. We've got an incredibly talented technical team who I can only describe them as magicians. They get some of the biggest, heaviest, bulkiest shows in through what is arguably the smallest get-in door, the door that everything that ends up on stage has to come into the building via. We're a collection of 13 different buildings, so there's little narrow corridors, there's steps, there's low ceilings, you name it, we've got it backstage. And the technical team sort of have to work well in advance, talking to the visiting producers to say, what are you bringing? This is the capacity, this is the size, this is the weight limit. And they have to put an awful lot of work in before the show actually gets here to ensure that they can get it through the doors and onto the stage.
And so let's go on to beautiful now. Let's get specific. Why for you, is it beautiful?
For me, it's the atmosphere of the venue. It's the heritage of the venue. What I absolutely love about this place is when we do tours, and we do sort of tours regularly for various people, you take people around, you end up on stage, and the response from people standing on that stage, looking out at the auditorium, is gorgeous. People are just spellbound. They're absolutely, their breath is taken away by the auditorium. And it's just it's a chocolate box auditorium. It's everything that people imagine a theatre to be. There's red seats, there's gold paintwork. It just looks lush, it's warm, it's intimate, and that's why I think it's probably one of the most beautiful venues.
You've worked in other places like the V&A, and you've been front of house manager, and now here you are kind of overseeing this whole place. Can you remember your first day here and what impression this place made on you?
I remember it vividly, actually. I was discussing this with someone the other day, and it plays on, what's special about this venue is that it plays on all of your senses. It's not just what you can see and what you can touch. And the thing that I remember most is that walking in through stage door, it had been probably a good 7 or 8 years since I'd been backstage at a theatre properly. And I walked in and walked down and onto the stage, and there was a smell. There was this overwhelming backstage at a theatre smell, and I just felt like I'd come home. It sounds really cheesy and ridiculous, but it was just such a familiar smell that just made me feel completely at ease. And then, of course, I spent the rest of the day being inducted and meeting the team and sort of generally trying to find my way around. We're a bit of a rabbit warren. Being 13 buildings, there's lots of sort of funny places that you wouldn't expect to end up in. And so it was just sort of finding your way around. And being, nothing really surprises me. I've been behind the scenes at hotels and restaurants, and it's always a bit of a shocker to people when you're not used to it. And so seeing behind the scenes at the theatre wasn't that big of a shock, but it's the glitz and the glamour from front of house to stepping over the threshold to back of house is quite a transformation, really.
Mm. And in terms of Brighton as a city, you know, this is the city that's got all the creatives in it, and it has the Brighton Festival and the Brighton Fringe and everybody making a film of some kind and all the game writers and so on. Where does a theatre like this sit within the whole kind of art scene of the city?
I think the very fact that we've sat in the city for 207 years sort of answers that question without giving an answer. This place is just so special to so many people. We might be mainstream, we might not be everybody's cup of tea. We are a commercial theatre, so we produce commercial work, but a huge amount of that work is incredible quality. You know, it's beautiful quality, and it's bringing product to Brighton that is West End. You know, it's stuff that's been on in London, or it's about to go on in London. We get premieres, we get previews. Producers love the venue for that. And then we're sort of sat there at the heart of this artistic community, and we're doing more and more in recent years to try and engage with people. We run a series of events called Out of Hours, which is something we program ourselves, and it's almost like a mini fringe festival in its own right. When we suddenly find ourselves with a week of dark where there's no shows, we put together a series of events, and it's about exciting events in unusual spaces around the venue. Mm-hmm. So we do shows in the dock, in the dressing room, in the orchestra pit. And a lot of the people performing and writing these shows are part of our team. They're part of our staff, or they are companies and businesses that we've worked with or that we forge links with. Mm-hmm. So we're working in the next few weeks with a lovely company called Herringbone Arts. Mm-hmm. We're linking up with Red Herring Theatre Company on some tours that they're doing. And then just lots of lovely stuff going on, really. Mm-hmm.
But also, I mean, that's probably one of the reasons we're having this interview, John. You know, we're Fringe Review, and we have a big audience of people that watch Fringe Theatre who have been telling us that they come here. And I've arrived at various times in cities that have a Theatre Royal, but, you know, you're hard put to find a play in the venues. There's a lot of tribute bands, and there are the West End-type musicals, but there isn't much theatre. But there's a lot of theatre here, and I guess we're going to talk about the programme soon. A lot of theatre, and not just West End theatre.
Yeah, we're very lucky. The theatre, you know, the theatre's heritage kind of stood it in good stead, but it has a reputation amongst actors and producers as being the venue. You know, Brighton audiences are intelligent audiences. People love bringing their shows to Brighton because they know they're going to be enjoyed and appreciated, or they're going to get an honest review. They're going to be told, no, it doesn't work, it's rubbish. We stretch across the county. You know, we're bigger than Brighton in the sense that our audience is spread. The mix is something like 60% county, 40% Brighton. Mm. So, you know, that's quite a spread. We go up quite a long way, and we spread out east and west quite far as well. Mm. And you've got quite a discerning audience sort of in that area. So the programme that we do present has to appeal to everybody, really. Mm. So there are tribute acts, you know, there are one-nighters, there are shows that some people might be a bit sniffy about in there, but then at the same time we do get lots and lots of quality drama.
Mm. And on the table in front of us is a glossy brochure, and it's a programme that's coming up. For people that don't know, I mean, how far ahead are you looking, and how does that, you know, 20, 30 page brochure get populated with all these shows?
Well, not easily, it has to be said. As part of Ambassador Theatre Group, we are part of one of the UK, well, it's the UK's largest theatre company and theatre operator. So there's a central department of programming people that are responsible for selecting shows and slotting them in, creating tours for producers almost. It's not a job that I'd thank anybody to have to be responsible for, with general managers and marketing managers on the phone to them every day saying, we want this, we don't want that, what about this, we've got this spare week. We have got a rough idea, approximately 12 to 18 months ahead, of things that are potentially coming to the venue. Mm. But then things can change, you know, they can change a click of a finger. They can be there one week in the diary, and then the next week you look and they've been replaced with something else. And for all sorts of reasons, the producers can change their mind. They can be offered another venue for that week. There's so many things to consider. But we're usually working about 18 months ahead of ourselves. Mm.
And in terms of then knowing in advance what you think's going to, you know, that's absolutely going to sell out, and that one, you know, we're going to have to push that harder. Do you know that pretty much in advance, or does it just reveal itself to you over time?
It's a little bit of a mystery, and Brighton is a little bit of an enigma in that sense, because there are shows and productions that you think would do incredibly well, and they turn up and actually the audiences don't. they don't work. And then there are those little sleeper shows that you just kind of don't pay a huge amount of attention to. They've not grabbed you. And then all of a sudden you're dealing with capacity houses for the week. And then, of course, you've got your Derren Browns, your Dawn Frenchers, your big names that you just look at on paper and think, oh, fantastic, that's going to be a bumper week.
Mm. And in terms of, you know, the nature of the design of a theatre like this, I've always wondered myself, you know, have you got stalls people that are different from, you know, dress circle or royal circle type people? Do they choose where they want to sit based on certain shows? Or, you know, is there a kind of an ecosystem to the place?
Interesting. I'm not entirely sure that there is. I think a few years ago there probably was. We have a lot of people who like specific seats, and I'm talking specific in terms of actual J6, J7 in the stalls or the Royal. So I don't know about a specific ecosystem. People have preferences for stalls and Royal being the most popular, which is quite odd because the second circle, we've had people recently in the second circle who went up there because they couldn't get their seats in the Royal Circle, and they've been in touch to sort of say how great it was. You know, they really enjoyed being in the Royals in the second circle. Equally, the gallery, which is the top part of the building, we have people that book for shows up there specifically. They want to sit in the gallery because they enjoy that experience that the gallery affords them. It's not everyone's cup of tea. You get a perfectly good view of the stage. It's absolutely ideal for things like dance and opera, particularly dance, because the angle is that you're looking down at the stage floor and you can see the footwork. So, you know, everybody has a preference, really.
And talking of preferences, I mean, it's quite hard to ask a general manager to choose from a packed programme, but looking at that glossy brochure, we've got the summer programme coming up. If you just picked a few highlights, particularly that our fringe audience maybe also might be interested in coming to see, what's on there?
For me, and that a fringe audience might be interested in, I think the highlights probably have to be Propeller Theatre Company, that are bringing A Midsummer Night's Dream and The Comedy of Errors. Edward Hall, you know, renowned for producing great work, directing great work. It's an all-male company. The pieces of work, Comedy of Errors and Midsummer Night's Dream, they're quite accessible. I think everybody is familiar with them. And the imagery for that is quite fun and sort of quite lively. I think that's going to be a very interesting piece. We've got a centenary production tour of Under Milkwood, which again, I know the piece, I don't know the actual performance, the production, but judging by the artwork, it could be quite different. It could be really quite an interesting production. Owen Teal, who is starring in that, has been a couple of times in different shows and is just an absolutely cracking actor. He is just brilliant. We've got Another Country, which is currently on at the Trafalgar Studios up in town. That's coming out on tour. And so that, again, is a lovely piece of work. It's a lovely drama, high-class quality drama. And then maybe it might be a little too mainstream for some diehard fringe goers, but we've got English Touring Theatre, who we work with a lot. They're sort of one of our associate companies, and we just love them. They constantly surprise and amaze. They're sending out a production of Tonight at 8:30, Noel Coward's piece, which I think is actually three pieces, and they're doing Tonight at 8:30, and that should just be brilliant because they always, always produce class English Touring Theatre do.
So, I mean, there's plenty there for fringe theatre goers. Final question to you then. I always like to try and flummox my interviewees. What's your favourite play of all time and why?
Oh, good grief. Favourite play of all time. I think the one that springs immediately to mind when you say what's your favourite play, we had a production of Blue Orange about 2 years ago. Okay, it was Theatre Royal Brighton Productions, so it was quite special to me in that sense that it was heavily linked with the venue. It was sort of part of our branding, if you like. I didn't know it. I'd sort of been aware of it when it was around first time. And I just thought it was brilliant, actually. I thought it was staged beautifully. I thought it was well executed. It was funny. It was moving. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Some of the pieces that we've had in the venue over the years, the things that appeal to me slightly more are things like Slava's Snow Show and sort of the performance pieces, where it's just very clever and imaginative. I love anything that's like that. We had a production of Tintin a few years back that just blew me out of the water. I just thought it was so clever. The things that they did, you know, they crawled over the edge of the stage at the back, upstage at the rear, but the way it was lit and the way they did it, they convinced you that they were at the top of a mountain. They'd just reached a mountain peak, and you absolutely bought into it. I think some of the children's theatre that we've had, Goodnight Mr. Tom, Danny, Champion of the World, things like that, and they tend to be, for me, it's kind of my background, that sort of family entertainment, children's entertainment. I think quality shows like that, where it's clever, it's imaginative, well-written, well-performed, anything like that just hits home with me.
Well, a general manager who loves his theatre in more ways than one. So, John Baldock, thanks very much indeed.